There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Mum's the word.
Hi, Helen. Welcome back.
Hi.
It is lovely to see you.
Oh, and you guys. It feels like ages.
I've been watching you on Facebook and I've been watching your little girl in the UK on holiday, getting all muddy with her wellies on.
I know. It was blissful, actually. So we had a two-week trip to the UK, and then we ditched the kids for a few nights and went to Amsterdam for a wedding. My mum said upon our return, I think we should have a two-night limit in the future. Right. So I think I might have been taking liberties with 5 days and four nights. But, you know, we've got to try these things out just to see where the parameters lie.
Of course, you are.
Amsterdam was great. But I think going back in autumn might even be better than going back in summer, because it's all the crispy leaves and the I love a conker. So loads of conkers. And I think Phoebe just found it magical to see all the animals that she sees in her books, you know, in
come
real
alive.
Life. Yeah, we did lots of kind of farm stuff. So lots of, although she did see a Highland cow and went, mummy, a lion. So I think we might have spoiled her a little bit. It was really, really lovely.
And I believe congratulations are in order as well. You're a winner.
They are. Thank you so much. The only downside to being in the UK was it unfortunately coincided with the Time Out Dubai Kids Awards. And I was nominated for Parent Blog of the Year and I won.
Yay!
So it wasn't the glittering evening that everybody else got to have. I was literally doing bath time and I got a WhatsApp from a friend who was at the event and said, you won.
So you must have celebrated somehow.
Well, we all kind of piled on the bed. We got my dad to take a photo, you know, and he's not well known for his iPhone skills. So a failed photo with the family. But it was really, really lovely to be able to share that with my parents. So I was very, very blessed.
I think we have to ask, what is on the award-winning blog this week then?
Well, I'm obviously back. So I've shared some tips on flying solo with kids, because I met my husband in Amsterdam, which meant that he didn't have to fly with a 7-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. At all. Mm-hmm. I've been slightly resentful of it, to be honest. What I will say is flying on my own has given me loads of confidence. Now I feel like I'm kind of more capable of going out and about with both of them and just knowing that I can do it, which I think is a lot to be said for it. Don't get me wrong, I didn't enjoy it by any means, especially on the way back where Tabitha got a tooth and kind of over Germany somewhere. Did you see that weird coincidence about the flight?
I did see that. You've got to tell that story, because I didn't know whether you meant a different stranger and you were just using a stranger as a broad term.
So Mark, about 2 years ago I flew back with Phoebe on my own. And I was really, really worried about it. She was only about 6 months at that time.
Yeah.
Flying back to Newcastle, sitting where the bassinets are at the front in the bulkhead.
Yeah.
And this enormous guy starts walking towards us, about 6'7", covered in tattoos, frankly, quite terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, not to judge upon appearances, but a really scary looking guy. And I just said, oh, listen, I'm really sorry. You're sitting next to us and she's actually a really good baby, so don't worry too much. And he was quite gruff with me. And I was like, oh, crikey. But as the flight kind of unfolded, he really warmed up and was playing peekaboo with Phoebe and, held her if I needed to get something. And he was getting things out my bag for me. And he was like my right-hand man. And then, you know, we get to Newcastle Airport and he's getting my bags off the carousel for me. And he carried them through to arrivals. Aww. My mum was like, who have you met on this flight? So it turned out he's ex-army and he does private security in Basra. And over the course of the flight, he confessed that him and his wife were having problems starting a family. And they were going back to look at treatment. And he got quite emotional about it. And I've really thought about him over the years. And he had a company that I kind of looked up on Instagram. And I was like, oh, interesting. Who was on the flight coming back this time?
The same guy.
Same guy.
That's amazing. So weird.
So as we were getting settled in our seats with me and Phoebe, who's now 2.5, and the new baby, who's the same age as Phoebe was when I first met him, he's like, oh, I was just thinking about you the other day. And I was like, oh, I was just thinking about you when I was flying. So, and again, during this flight, he was there to hold the kids, really sweet, and then told me that him and his wife were expecting a baby and they're having a little boy in December. So
that's a happy ending
all
round.
It was a really lovely coincidence, and I think it was just a good lesson in not judging by appearances. He is still terrifying looking. I mean, his kid's going to be enormous. I'd be really frightened about his wife. Really frightened. And asking for help, really, because if you are flying on your own, whether it's making friends with cabin crew. Oh, one thing I found, always compliment the cabin crew. Get them on side early on. I was like, oh, nice glasses. Is that Michael? Hi, Michael. I'm Helen. I'm traveling on my own. This is Phoebe and Tabitha. You're my new friend.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to ask for help, because you know, you're trying to go to the toilet with a baby and a toddler and you're crammed in a cubicle, and Phoebe decides that she doesn't want to go to the toilet because it's too noisy and it's scary. Things happen, and asking for help is all you really need to do, and you might just be surprised.
That is an amazing story. What are the chances, eh?
I know.
I don't think I've ever been on a flight where I've seen the same person.
No,
it was
neither.
Pretty memorable. I think you probably have been, but you might not have noticed.
But you'll know.
Yeah, so that's incredible. So that's up on the blog as well. Kind of a nice bit of feel good. And there's loads coming up. I feel like, I'm sure you're feeling it too. We're getting into crazy season. Lots happening around Dubai. So my kind of things that I think are of interest, there's some good parenting workshops coming up that have just popped up there too.
We'll talk about those a little bit later on. But a lot of parents are travelling the world with kids in tow. You'll see them. They're all over Instagram. It's pretty inspirational, I think. And each week we seethe with jealousy over one of them.
We do. Do you really want to seethe with jealousy?
Mm-hmm.
This is the ultimate.
Is it?
Yeah. So Garrett and Jesse, who I'd like to kind of start out by saying, are young, incredibly good looking, incredibly cute kids.
Do you have to be to do this, do you think?
I think it probably helps for Instagram, I have to say. Not the cynic in me says it does help.
Hey, filters can do a lot.
This is true. But they're starting with good material. So Garrett is at university. He starts looking into technology, launches an app called Scan. It gets bought by Snapchat for $54 million.
I've seen this family.
It's them.
It's them, is it? Okay.
And they're also really likeable. It's stunning.
They are, aren't they?
So what they've actually done is, rather than spend that money on kind of an endless holiday, what it seems like, they put that money aside and they sold all of their belongings and made about $45,000, and that's what they're living off. So despite the fact they're multimillionaires, they are living quite frugally as they go around. So they've done things like, going to Fiji and Tonga and teaching the kids how to walk on pristine beaches, but they're also doing some charity work as well. They've donated money for people to get laser eye surgeries. About 200 people have had that. They've sent kind of families in need to Disneyland. So there is an element of giving. So they call themselves the Bucket List Family, and they upload a new video to YouTube every week for their destination. And while they're called Bucket List, it's not the Bucket List as we know it. It's not kind of, you know, swim with dolphins, walk, you know, Great Wall of China. It's more things like becoming closer, making friends, finding happiness. And so it's more kind of ideals and making memories.
Let's have a listen to the Bucket List Family.
32 countries so far. How many flights?
A lot. Like maybe 70.
Yeah.
Or so.
30-second intro. Who are we? Go.
I'm Jessica.
Garrett.
Garabum. We're the Bucket List Family.
We have two kids, Dorothy and Manila. And about 16 months ago, about 32 countries ago, like 70 flights ago, we left our home, sold everything, and decided to go on a humanitarian adventure around the world. During our travels, we focus on three things: adventure, culture, and service.
When I hear something like that, I always wonder if I would like the people as much without the happy music in the background.
It does help, that jaunty tune.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
They are really likeable. So they've been featured in People magazine.
Yeah.
They've got 830,000 followers on Instagram. And it's like, you know, it's a bit of escapism. It's a gorgeous family in gorgeous places doing, you know, open-hearted things.
So if you would like to follow them, how do we find them on Instagram?
They are Bucket List Family, and the same on YouTube as well. And they do really great little videos as well. And they do giveaways. They just did a giveaway for GoPro today. So they do involve followers and viewers as well.
Shruti has also put a link to this on the Ticket blog today. You can find it on there.
Yep, we've tagged them and they've taken a screenshot of one of their photos. So yeah, go follow on at the Ticket Travels.
Fantastic stuff.
Right, we've got the news headlines just ahead. We've also got time to take a couple more calls on the show. We've been discussing the mass shooting in Nevada that we all watched unfold in shock at how someone could do something so terrible. As a tourist caught up in this in Las Vegas, what would you do? Do you stay and carry on with your holiday, or do you leave early? Let us know. 4001.
We'll also be looking at some of the big family travel stories in the news when we come back.
Mum's the word.
Got Helen here from the Mothership. Very frank parenting blog. What would you do, Hels?
Well, I wouldn't take a toddler and a baby to Las Vegas in the first place. But hypothetically, if I was there, you know, as a couple.
Well, maybe you've left them with your mum for 5 days.
I know, poor Mrs. Spearman. I would stay, to be honest. I think I have fears about perhaps airport being targeted. Obviously, there's financial implications for, you know, changing or rebooking flights. And I think, you know, it would change the tone of your holiday, of course. But I think you'd find yourself just naturally having a much quieter and introverted time. but maybe nicer to do that in hotel surrounds rather than at home.
Still trying to keep your thoughts coming in on that. Helen, other big family travel stories this week?
Family travel stories. Well, now, we all know that abs are out and dad bods are in.
Are they really?
Dad bods are so in.
I'm so happy about
Who
that.
Who said this?
The World.
Did they?
Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, is a very good example of a dad bod. So fashion has taken its cue from this. And as Brits, we would call them a bum bag. Americans call them...
Fanny pack.
A fanny pack, which I find quite distasteful.
Oh, no, I prefer the fanny pack.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. And something called the dad bag has been invented. It's not available on the open market yet, but it straps onto you like a bum bag, and it's a photographic design that looks like a big, hairy belly. So they have got an Instagram account called the dad bag, and I urge you to go and have a look because it's full of kind of cool, hipster, skinny guys with what looks like a bare belly strapped around them. So I think bring it to Dubai.
I never got back into the bum bag when it came back.
No, it was a very 70s thing, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Mega 80s always makes me the Fresh 80s. Prince. And then we were in London last year and it was the real kind of hipster thing to do. We saw a group of kids at breakfast who were wearing bum bags and had bindis. And I was like, oh, I feel about 75.
They don't go around where they would normally go anymore. They go across your shoulder. That's the cool way to wear them now.
Yeah, I'm 35 with two kids. I'm not wearing a bum bag. It's
ridiculous. And I think I didn't like wearing them because I was thinking, you know, if anybody's going to try and come and steal your stuff, they know where it all is. It's all
exactly.
in there.
Would
isn't
you
it?
Be more inclined to get one of those kind of money belts that go inside your trousers?
Yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, very cool.
Or one of those little plastic things that goes around your neck that you screw the bottom off.
Yes, yes.
What's one of them?
You don't remember them? I remember going on holiday when I was a kid and you'd always be given, it was kind of like a big necklace.
Oh yes, with a see-through. Yeah.
The plastic thing on the bottom, like a tube, like a cylinder.
Yeah, it looked a bit like a kind of film canister.
Yeah. And it would screw off on the bottom and you'd put all your money in there.
That's always when the kind of the well-known travel hacks that you see online is like how to try hide your valuables on the beach. Mm. And you can kind of cut out a suntan lotion bottle and put all your things in there and then put the top back on and then hide that in the sand.
That's a brilliant idea.
But anyway, basically what I really want to do is get the dad bag to come to Dubai and make it a thing. I think women wearing the hairy belly bag, no, you're making a face.
Not going to take
Is it too
off.
Hipster for you, Steph?
I don't like that.
If it's not, if it's too hipster for you.
Won't sell, Hells.
Now, sushi. Who's a fan?
I am.
Yeah, in small doses.
In small doses. So this made me laugh. I went to a brunch at the weekend and there were kids on our table, ages like 5, 7 and 8, all of them having sushi. I swear, I didn't think I had sushi until I was about 26.
Neither did I, but I think maybe that's because we're both from Newcastle and they don't have it.
Or if they did, it might not be the best. Safe to say.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to see that these, you know, the expat kids eating their sushi. It really did make me chuckle. But I do love sushi now, only certain kinds. Still get a bit of the ick with some of it. But I was really interested to see Anthony Bourdain's tips on how to eat sushi or how not to. How to basically look like a local if you're in a really cool little Tokyo restaurant.
So they give you street cred after you've eaten your sushi.
Exactly. So do not make a slurry with the wasabi and the soy sauce, basically. It's
Don't mash it together.
Don't
keep
mash it
separate.
Together.
Okay.
Keep it separate.
Yeah.
And make sure you taste your fish first before doing it. Otherwise the chef could get a little bit irritated.
Like when you add salt to dinner that someone's cooked for you.
Oh, yes. Me and my husband have had huge rows about this. Huge. The biggest rows.
I think about him every time I put salt on my dinner.
Do you really?
I do. Because I remember those rows.
But were you involved in the rows as well?
I just remember hearing about them back in the day.
He's a chronic over-salter before tasting.
Yeah.
And I remember vaguely there being kind of anecdote going around about someone who'd done a job interview. And the person who was at the interviewing, they'd take them out for lunch. And if they salted their food before tasting it, wouldn't get the job because they thought that showed poor judgment. Which I thought was quite interesting.
Mm. When it comes to sushi, I'm not into the condiments at all.
I love a bit of ginger.
I feel like it changes the taste, so it all tastes the same.
Fair point. Mm. So, and in terms of how to dip it, do not dip your sushi rice down in the soy sauce. Turn it upside down. So fish first.
Aha, good
tip. So your rice doesn't, you know, disintegrate into that slurry that you probably already made with your wasabi and your soy sauce. Do not say loudly, "This sushi is so fresh, dude." Unless you're in a place where that concept would even be in question, it should be fresh. So
yeah, it would be pretty bad if it wasn't.
Pretty bad if it wasn't. Do not consider a sushi selection that includes mayonnaise. He says, don't get me wrong, I love mayo. Tuna salad and white red is incredible, but it belongs nowhere near raw fish. So keep it traditional.
You don't know what's in a little roll, though, do you?
Well, often not says, really. Gives you a little breakdown. I think he's talking about kind of a bit like Italian food is not, you know, meatballs. You know, this is a kind of Americanized version. And he also says, do not order a California roll. The name speaks for itself.
Oh, it's one of my favourites.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm more of a purist. I like the kind of just bits of fish. Yeah, I love a bit
but
of sashimi.
But I don't think how you can eat it without wasabi. I think wasabi is essential.
We have to taste it first, Mark. So I'm going to be using, I think, the upside down tip because I am known to kind of a bit of a rice dunk and then it all falling apart. and yes, of course, as we talked about the shootings, so we can talk about, if you like, how to talk to your children about this.
Well, it has been all over the television and on the radio station since it happened, hasn't it? So children will be picking up on this and no doubt asking questions.
Absolutely. I think our children are far more exposed to these things than we perhaps realise. And as parents, you know, we do have a responsibility to perhaps start the conversation. However, you've got to be age appropriate, would be my kind of my big take out. So, you know, at preschool age, parents have a high control over what their children see and are exposed to. So it perhaps doesn't need to be brought up unless they come to you asking questions, and make it known that you are there to answer them if they've got any concerns. For kind of younger school age, they maybe just basic details, and try again, shield them as much as possible from the graphic images. You know, you just need to go on some of the news sites and it might say graphic content, but immediately come up with those images and video footage anyway.
That never used to happen, did it, when we were kids?
No. You see the newspaper, you might see a bit of
I don't know. I mean, when I was growing up, there was the Moore's cases, the Moore's murderers, which was very close to where I lived. Mm-hmm. And I was very aware of that. And, you know, it's not something that I spoke to my parents about, but it was on the news a lot. And
I think by speaking to children about it, we acknowledge that there is danger and evil in the world, but there are people out there whose job it is to protect you.
Yeah.
And how this is very much an anomaly, and really that you can't live your life in fear that, you know, things do unfortunately happen, but we can't stop doing things because, you know, there are people in the world like that. I think children often want some kind of way of expressing how they feel about it. So whether that's writing a thank you letter to, you know, first aid responders or the police, or drawing pictures, I think writing a thank you letter would be quite an amazing thing to do. And I'm sure if you can find a way of getting it, scanning it to those who were able to help. And also pointing out that it's the classic quote we see after every big tragedy, but, you know, look for the helpers, that there is good in the world. And often it can be proof, as you're saying with the blood donations, people come out to support.
Mum's the word.
And Hels, you've got some events for us for mums, dads and little ones to get involved in.
I do indeed. As I said earlier, finally, although the summer wasn't quiet, there were still things going on. Things are kind of really starting to heat up a bit.
Busiest summer yet,
definitely.
I think so. I know I was here. I think when you're out of the equation, you look back and go, oh, it was really quiet. But actually, if you were on the ground in Dubai, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
Really exciting. But lots of new openings coming up.
Yep.
My kind of mark of winter coming, there were two. Actually, there are three. Turning on your water heater again, which I did 2 days ago.
Yeah, don't forget to do it like I did this morning.
Oh,
it's
no.
Murder after showering cold water.
No. I'm not sure I ever turned mine off this year.
Oh, crikey.
Being in a flat that low in the building. I'm
oh,
like,
yeah, maybe not that affected.
First floor, it's not that affected.
No.
Yeah, in a villa, you know it. So turning your water heater back on. Basola being open for pizzas upstairs. I'm always like, okay, winter is
Yay!
Coming when upstairs is open. And the Wright Market starting again. So Wright Market will be in Zabil Park from October 13th. Bigger and better than ever. So I can't wait to go along and check that out. So that's in a couple of weeks.
Do we know about the Farmers Market in Business Bay? Because that is the one that I like.
I don't know yet.
And it was November last year.
It was. I remember it being later than I thought last year. And then it seems to be over really quickly again. I don't know.
We'll keep an eye on that.
We'll absolutely will, because it is a really lovely one. Bacon spice breakfast.
Mm-mm-mm. Yum.
So kind of things I'm looking forward to. I love the Dubai Aquarium. I just love it. Phoebe loves it. I think it's a really, really well done attraction. And if you've got really little ones, under the age of three, they're doing a deal for 100 dirhams, a guardian or parent, plus a little one, for unlimited use until the end of the month.
Do you have to blindfold them when you take them in there? Stand Why? Them so they're facing the aquarium and then take the blindfold off so they can't see the sweet shop behind?
I hadn't even thought about that.
That's I think it's point. A right crafty place to put
well,
it.
Well, really, I know. Yeah. It is a bit naughty, isn't yeah. it? But I think they're so mesmerised by the aquarium in front of them.
That yeah. you can I think they're always going to go for the fish.
And you whisk them through, get them in the tunnel and straight up in the lift to the top bit. But they're putting all sorts of special things on, like a toddler touch pool, meet and greet with animals and experts, scavenger hunts and storytelling. So 100 dirhams until October 26th. That's for an adult and a child under three, unlimited access from Sunday to Thursday, 10 until 1 at Dubai Aquarium. On October 13th, so you need to book it now, the British Business Group is holding a big family garden party from 4 o'clock. All things British. Picnic food, entertainment, giant wigwams, bouncy castle, face painting and box tones kind of playing the music as well. So a really nice event that's happening at the British Embassy on Friday the 13th from 4 p.m. Prices from 225 dirhams, and you can just go to the British Business Group website for more information and to book. And for other parents who are crafty but perhaps need a bit of help, Stay and Play is a really great initiative that's taking place at Duck Tack Wednesdays and Thursday mornings 9 until 12, and they've tied up with Costa to encourage little crafty people to create stickers. The winner of the competition will have their stickers made and put on Costa cups across Dubai.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, isn't that a great accolade? So that's started a couple of days ago. So Stay and Play at Duck Tack Wednesdays and Thursdays, tie up with Costa, and you could be famous on people's takeaway coffee.
Love it. Right, you can find all of those events that we've just heard about on the Ticket blog today, which will also take you through to Helen's blog.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.